Praise God. We're going to read in the book of 1 Kings chapter 17, 1 Kings chapter 17, and read just a few verses here in this chapter, and we're going to look at the entirety of the chapter this morning, just bits and pieces of the chapter. Don't get too afraid, but we're going to look at this chapter and talk about revival in a dry season. Revival in a dry season. I just think that all of us here have gone through times spiritually, and maybe even now some of you are experiencing a season where you're really struggling. You're just spiritually empty, spiritually dry, and you need help from the Lord. Well, there's some answers in God's Word. There are always answers in God's Word. If you'll look to his word. Amen. So we'll read here in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." Amen. Amen. Why don't we pray? I've been struggling with my voice and I have a cough. I guess I was allergic to North Carolina or something. Allergic to weddings. Something happened and I've got all this going on. And let's just take a moment and pray. Lord, I ask you, Lord, for strength, and I ask you, Lord, that you would anoint this service so that the things that you want to be spoken will be spoken. And they'll not just be my words, but Lord, that these words will go forth with power and unction and anointing to accomplish the things that you desire to accomplish here today. In Jesus' name, amen. The question is, are you in a dry spell right now? Are you? Be honest, between you and the Lord, are you going through a spiritual dry season? How long has it been since you really sensed the presence of God, the Spirit of God? Or how long has it been since you've had a season of refreshing? I know that worldwide circumstances have created somewhat of a distancing from the church, a distancing from God, and thus, no doubt, we are, spiritually speaking, we are in a spiritual drought worldwide. There's so many needs all over the world. Amen. Drought is mentioned 26 times in the Old Testament. And there is this connection. Many times the physical drought mirrored the spiritual condition of people, of nations, and circumstances. It was a natural drought time, but they also were going through a spiritual dry season. And I think that when we think of a drought, if we look at the Old Testament, you can see all the many times when drought came. It was many times a season when God was trying to speak. Or God was trying to get their attention. God was trying to get the attention of entire nations sometimes through spiritual drought and physical drought. God had warned Israel in Deuteronomy 28. You remember the first part of Deuteronomy 28 is a chapter that talks about blessing. All the blessings that will come upon those who know the Lord and who are serving the Lord. I've got a good wife. Amen. Deuteronomy 28, the first part of that chapter is all about God's blessing. How that he promised blessing to the people of God, the children of Israel. You walk in my ways, you live according to my statutes and my laws, I'll bless you. I'll bless you coming in, going out, I'll bless you in your homes, I'll bless your family, I'll bless your storehouse, I'll bless every part of your life. But then in the latter part of that same chapter is the warning. If you turn away from me, if you reject my law, you turn away from the things of God, then you are also going to have to face cursing. And a part of that cursing would oftentimes be a drought, a season of drought, when everything just dries up. And God would use that drought, that dryness, as a time to get the attention of nations and of people that had turned away from the Lord. So I'm very convinced that all that has happened in recent months around the world is a wake-up call to the world to recognize how much that we need God, how much that we need to turn to the Lord with our whole heart. Amen. And pursue the things of God. Pursue the Word of God. Pursue truth. Now, Elijah, the Bible says that Elijah was the prophet who prophesied during the time of Ahab and Jezebel. No more wicked king, no more wicked person than Ahab and Jezebel. They were a couple that brought nothing but destruction and hopelessness, brought idolatry into Israel, and really they were little by little destroying Israel. But there was a man by the name of Elijah who was a prophet who was not afraid to stand up even in the presence of Ahab and to speak to him. And that's what he did there in the first chapter. He is speaking to Ahab, but it says here, as the Lord God of Israel liveth. Amen. You know, Elijah's name meant God is my strength. God is my strength. God gave him the courage to stand up in the face of Ahab and to tell him, God is working, God is alive in this present day. If there's anything that needs to be declared in the day that we're in today, we need to declare that God is alive and well. And that he is at work in this particular season in America. God is alive and well and well all around this world. And even though there is this spiritual dry season that many are experiencing, there is still the hope that we have because we know that the Lord is alive. As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. You see, Elijah did not give much attention to the fact that he was standing in the presence of the natural king, Ahab, but he said, I stand in the presence of God. I stand in the presence of the Lord. As the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain 3 years, but according to my word. The Bible says that in the book of James that Elijah was a common man. He was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Don't tell me that praying people will not have an effect upon what's going on in our world today. Praying people make a big difference in the situation in our world today. He prayed and God sent a drought. God sent a drought. Was that drought to punish them? Not so much to punish them, but to awaken that nation, to help them to see how much that they needed God, to turn to the Lord with their whole heart. And so, yes, we're in a drought. I didn't pray for a drought, but I've prayed for revival. I've prayed for spiritual awakening in America. I've prayed that God would get the attention of those who are living in sin and rebellion against God. And if God sends a spiritual drought, if that's what we're in right now in the past couple of years, so be it, if that's how God is going to get the attention of this generation. Amen. God can send a revival in a dry season. Amen. A famine, as I said, is mentioned 26 times in the Old Testament, and there would be no rain, and there would be no fruit, there'd be no produce, that everything would just dry up, and it would just be a hopeless situation. For you and me, as believers in Jesus Christ, people who believe that God can work in our lives, we need to understand that we might be in a dry season right now, but we can come out of this, and we must come out of it. Do you understand that 1 out of 5 churches in America are closing at the end of the pandemic? After the past 18 months or so, 20%, 1 out of 5 American churches are going to close, not to ever open again. There is a spiritual drought in America. There is a spiritual drought that we're going through and we're experiencing right now. Here's the wonderful thing. God speaks in a drought. God speaks in a famine. God speaks in a dry season. And we need to listen and obey the voice of the Lord in the struggles of the times that we're in right now. So all the nation was facing the drought, but God spoke to Elijah and said, Go to Cherith. There's a brook there, and I'm going to feed you miraculously. In the middle of the drought, I'm going to make sure that you have the food you need and the water you need if you'll just obey the voice of the Lord. Amen. If you'll listen to God, God can take care of you in this dry season that we may be in. You can enjoy plenty. You can enjoy miraculous provision of God, even in a difficult time, because God speaks to us during a famine and a dry season. Amen. I think this also really clearly speaks to us of the importance of the hidden life. The life that Elijah had was a life where he stepped out of his public ministry and went to a hiding place that God had sent him there, and he was going to be there. He was going to be physically restored. He was going to be spiritually restored. He was going to witness the daily provision of God, the hand of the Lord during that time and during that place. God was going to show himself strong, even in a dry season. This is true in many other places of the scripture. Remember John on the Isle of Patmos? It was a barren, unpleasant, hopeless place to have to be. But John, in that barren desert of a prison, the Bible says that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He heard the word of the Lord, and he received the glorious vision of the revelation of Jesus Christ, all in that dry season that he went through. Amen. So for those of you who may be in a season right now that you're wondering, Lord, where are you at and what's going on during this time? If you'll obey the voice of the Lord, God will supernaturally provide for you. God will pour his Spirit out upon you. He will bless you. He'll work in your life. He will speak, and you just need to listen and obey the voice of the Lord. Amen. We have to learn the lesson of obedience, hearing God's voice, doing what he tells us to do, and when we do, God has promised, I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to supply for you. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live in doubt, but you can put your hope and your trust in the Lord. Now the story even gets even more interesting, because the brook dried up and the Lord spoke to him and said, leave that place, and now I want you to go to a really bad place. This is a place called Zarephath. Zarephath, the word means smelter, smelting. It was like a testing place he was going to be tested. And it says Zarephath of Zidon. Zidon was the home area of Jezebel. And she was really the one that's causing all the trouble. And so he said, go to this smelting place. Go to this area of Zidon. That's the home area of this wicked worshiper of idols. It was a seat of idolatry. But God was sending Elijah to this place. Not only to this hopeless location, but also to a hopeless woman. A woman that was a widow. And he said, go find this woman in Zarephath. She's a widow, and she'll provide for you. He finds her, and she has just enough little sticks and a little bit of meal. And she says, I'm just getting ready to go. I'm going to build a small little fire, and I'm going to make a cake. And my son and I, we're going to eat it, and that's it. We're going to die. It's over. The famine had become desperate there in Zarephath as well. Amen. And down there in Zarephath, God begins to work. Amen. God can work in the most unlikely situations, in the most impossible of circumstances. As I said, this is a widow woman. That's hopeless. This is Zarephath, a smelting, testing place. And this is Zidon, the seat of idolatry. It doesn't seem that there could be anything good that could happen in that place. But he speaks to this woman and he says, oh, okay, so you're going to prepare this last little cake for you and your little boy. But before you do that, would you make sure that you make me a cake? Now, it sounds selfish, but you have to put this in perspective. Because the prophets were always, they were always representative of God. They were in God's stead. And so when he said, basically what he said to this woman is, you need to make me a cake first. You need to put me first. And when you did, so he put this woman to the test. And, you know, can you imagine that there could be a lesson on tithing down in Zarephath? It's true. He said, make me a cake first. Make me a cake. And that was going to be the test. If you make me a cake, then you can make your cake next. And it was a promise. God's going to work. You're getting ready to witness a miracle. You're getting ready to witness God's supernatural power. Elijah had experienced it at Cherith, and now he goes into this hopeless circumstance, this dry and hopeless place of idolatry and testing, and go to the most unlikely person there, this widow woman that's about to eat her last meal and die with her son. It was hopeless. But the prophet said, put God first. Put God first. And see what God might do in your hopeless situation. Amen. Put the Lord first in your impossible situation. I want to encourage you today, if you're in a dry, barren, hopeless type of spiritual experience right now, would you just start putting God first in all of your decisions? Just start putting Him first and begin to honor the Lord. Amen. Malachi 3:10 is, of course, the most important text on tithing. But I'm going to read it to you again this morning, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me. This was a testing place. And this widow woman is being put to the test. Are you willing to give God a chance with your life? Are you willing to put him first as he spoke to this hopeless situation? The Lord, prove me now, put me to the test, saith the Lord. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. And what Elijah was saying to this hopeless woman in a hopeless country, in the middle of a famine, is if you will put God first, God will step in. God will begin to work in your life. If you'll just put God first in your life, amen, in your life. You see, when God steps in, it isn't the end, it's the beginning. This woman said, I'm just going to feed my son and myself our last little meager meal, and that'll be it. We're going to starve to death. But he puts her to the test. Well, put God first and see what God can do for you. This was not the end of her life. This was the beginning of the supernatural. This was the beginning of the miracle. Because from that point on, when she provided the meal for the prophet of God, the Bible says that the meal didn't run out of meal. The cruse of oil didn't run out of oil. And it was there always providing for her and her household until the end of the famine. It's not the end. If you'll put God first, it's not the end of your hopes and your dreams. It's not the end of your heart's desire. It's not the end. But God can come through for you if you'll just put him first in your life. Amen? Amen. Everybody say amen while I get a drink of water. Praise God. Put the Lord first. Put him first. He told this little woman, this little widow woman, who was about ready to die in a hopeless country full of idolatry, and the only hope for her was the word that came from this prophet. God had sent the prophet Elijah to her to show himself mighty and strong for her. Does God care about people that are failures and, you know, people that make mistakes and sin and are living in sin and are far from God? Oh, yeah, this woman was in a land of idolatry. This was a widow woman, and when you read down through the text, apparently there were sins in her life that God was wanting to take care of in her life. Because when you read on down, now I've already established the fact that the meal barrel and the cruse of oil, it never did run out all throughout that entire 3.5 years. And she fed her family and her household with that. But then it says, let me get on down to the latter part of the text here. Verse 17. Came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. Apparently, he died or he was dying. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my sin? Apparently, this woman had some deep-rooted sin in her heart. And it may have even been related to the birth of that son. We don't really know. It doesn't tell us what kind of a sin. But she, when this tragedy comes, then she goes to the prophet and said, so now you've come to bring my sin to the forefront, and I'm going to pay for it now with the loss of my son. And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into the loft. Apparently, this woman had provided a loft for the prophet to stay. And as long as he was there in that household, then there was meal and oil for him as well. God was providing. So she'd provided apparently a place for him. He took him and carried him up into the loft where he abode and laid up, laid him upon his bed, and he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, thou hast also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son. And he stretched himself upon the child three times. Now, there's no real explanation for this. I remember one time Brother Huff preaching on how that God works in strange and wonderful ways. And it's just the truth. There are things in the scripture we can't understand. All that we know is that he was there with him and he stretched himself over him. And he was trying to revive him and trying to bring life back into him. And he cried out to the Lord. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. And the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him out of the chamber into the house and delivered him into his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth. The word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Praise God. So let's just get the picture. This is a dry season. This is a season where God provided miraculously for the prophet. Then he sends him down to Zarephath, the most unlikely place. It's going through a drought and a horrible season. And there he provides for a woman and provides miraculously for her and brings her son back to life. Praise God. Glory to God. God can work in a dry season. God can work in the worst of times. I know it's been challenging in these last couple of years. A lot of things that have happened. But I do believe that God wants to work in the middle of this season right now. Even in the most unlikely situations and from the most unlikely people. This woman was not a believer. This woman was not worthy. She was not deserving. But God sent the prophet to her. And as a result of her stepping out in faith to make the prophet to give to him first, then God began to honor her and God began to move. When God steps into your situation, you can believe that God can change everything about it. Praise God. Not only provided food, but restored the life of her child. That which was dead was brought back to life. That which was dead was made alive. And for you and I, in a season of spiritual dryness and famine, could it be that this is just a season that God is using to wake up the world, to wake up our country? And it's a time when the church should be like the prophet, hearing the voice of the Lord, being supernaturally provided for by the hand of God, and being used of the Lord even in this unlikely time. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you can bring victory and revival in a dry and a barren season. And I just pray, Lord, for many, Lord, in this service today, that they have been struggling. They have been doubting. They have been dealing with difficult times. But Lord, you went out of your way to show yourself strong to that little widow woman who was a pagan, who was an idol worshiper. You went out of your way, Lord, to show her your supernatural power to provide for her and to even resurrect her son. God, we know that you can work in this season that we're in right now. You can pour your Holy Spirit out in this season that we're in right this very moment. And we're believing you, Lord, to speak and to provide and to show yourself strong. In the mighty name of Jesus, and we thank you for it.